Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to consciously choose to gather with like-minded hearts and minds to deepen in our communion and connection with the ground of our being, the transcendent one that we call the divine beloved Mother, Father, God. And the month of March is the month we dedicate to celebrating women and women's history, and Wednesday is International Women's Day. It seems, for me, somewhat tragic that still in the 21st century, that women's rights, women and those who identify as women, are still struggling for recognition, for equality, for fairness, for independence, for the right to just be. The fact our contributions are rarely acknowledged or sometimes fail to be acknowledged, and certainly from times previous when women made the breakthroughs because they were considered almost second-class citizens and subservient, the men always took the credit. And it's, for me, we're not just talking about the genders. We need to look deeper. We need to look beyond that label and binary identification of a male and a female, but look at the energies, the divine energies, that is the masculine and the feminine. Not gender, but the energies. When we think about the masculine, it's more active and forceful, and it's the thing that gets things done, it gets things moving, it's responsible for progress and evolution. Whereas the feminine energy is more receptive. It's the energy that is compassionate. It's the energy that we can associate with aligning with divine love. The feminine energy, it's nature, it's life, it's growth, it's change. We need that. But we need the balance between the two. And it's fairly easy and obvious to see how our world is out of whack and out of balance. Whilst humanity in its evolution needed the masculine energy of drive and force and moving things through, we have so allowed it to dominate. And the shadow side of the masculine energy we've allowed to dominate. But I'm going to go into that for another session, because this is so much to unpack in just one I shall be using the whole of the month of March for us to investigate and excavate how we can balance our masculine and feminine energies in a more holistic and a more progressive way that can enable us to navigate this thing called life. And always, whatever we do that can bring about an expansion within ourselves, in turn will reflect and ripple out and add to that expansion within our world. We have to be balancing all the time. We've spoken numerous times about how, as we exist in this world of duality, this world of polarities, this world of opposites, it's always about finding the middle path. As the Buddha realized as he sat under the Bodhi tree, if you pull the string of the sitar too tight, it will snap, and if it's too slack or too loose, it will not play. Finding the right tension, the right balance, is the way to find harmony and express what the sitar was meant to express. Music. And that is the invitation this morning. How do we honor both aspects of our nature, both the divine feminine and the divine masculine, so that we can have a world that is more aligned to what it should be, a world of love, a world of oneness, a world of acceptance, a world of peace, as opposed to what we have now, which is a world full of tension, racial, sexual, religious intolerance, gender inequalities, materialism going through the roof, where we have such large-scale environmental decimation, where we are abusing, pillaging, raping our earth, and couldn't care less about the rest of the earth and how it lives. We have caused the earth to experience such natural disasters, and I think we're seeing at this moment social collapse that's happening everywhere. This is because we have allowed the shadow side of the divine masculine, with its preoccupation of power, that's so corruptible, so toxic, that we have a society and a foundation that's kind of based on let's get it, let's use it, let's dominate it, and if it doesn't align with what we want, we will reject it. This is the toxic side of masculine energy that is so out of whack that all of us, all of creation, is paying the price. So my beloveds, this Wednesday, as I said before, is International Women's Day. And it's the objective of Women's Day to express love, and there'll be lots of things happening around, up and down the country and across the globe, that if you Google International Women's Day, their website, you can see. So it's about acknowledging women's contributions to our life, to our society. It's about honoring the power and the struggle of women. And there are so many women that have broken the barriers to reach the pinnacle of success, be it in politics or education or corporate or sports or research development. Their fields are so diverse, to which women have left their footprints on. I love the quote that I shared with you yesterday by Mary McLeod Bethune, who says, "Whatever glory belongs to the race for development unprecedented in history for the given length of time, a full share belongs to the womanhood of the race." And the theme, every International Women's Day has a theme, And the theme for this Women's Day for 2022, the campaign, is Break the Bias. So it suggests that we start to imagine a gender-equal world, a world that's free of bias, stereotypes, and discrimination, a world that is diverse, equitable, and inclusive, a world where the difference is valued and celebrated. Together we can forge women's equality. And so it says that we are all responsible for our own thoughts and actions every day and all day. So we individually can choose to break the bias in our communities, to break the bias in our workplaces, to break the bias in our schools, colleges, and universities. And that together we all can work towards breaking the bias on International Women's Day and beyond. And so, my beloveds, as we acknowledge and honor women and the Divine Feminine today, we have to look within ourselves as well and see what individual thoughts and opinions we may be holding. And even though we are continuously working on ourselves, it's interesting when we do the deep dive down into our soul to see what individual biases we may be holding about ourselves as a woman, or about ourselves in acknowledging and accepting our divine feminine. Because we have been programmed from since we were born as to the role we were supposed to fill. I know for some, if not all of you, that are female on this phone. From the time we were born, we were always being cultivated into being the little woman, to know how to cook and to clean and to prepare and provide for your husband or partner. In my day, it was certainly a husband, because the idea of living with someone, I know for a fact my parents would rather kill me or drown me at birth and have what they would consider the shame of me living with someone. And so you're prepared from since you're born, because of the gender you have born into, to what your role is supposed to be. Homemaker, that of a little wife, that was always looking out for the husband. I always remember if my mother came round and boss had come in from work, there was this immediate, why aren't you getting his tea? Why aren't you getting this? Why aren't you doing this for him? This immediate assumption that I had to be jumping around doing, where I too had also been at work. And so it's this unprogramming, this unpacking of these little, mini, micro biases that we still have as what we think our role is and what we should be doing, that again requires examination. My sacred text is from the Shakti Sangama Tantra, which simply says, woman is the creator of the universe. The universe is her form. Woman is the foundation of the world. She is the true form of the body. In woman is the form of all things, of all that lives and moves in the world. There is no jewel rarer than woman. No condition superior to that of woman. That is from the Hindu tradition, which embraces both the feminine and the masculine in its form of expression of deities. And we're going to look more deeper, as I said, in the weeks that go on. My poem that I wish to share is unknown, but it's in celebration of Women's Day. Today is a celebration for women all around the world. Ladies who've dared to dream big ever since they were little girls. For the diversity and talent that lie within a feminine heart. For the courage and determination that prevents us falling apart. We can raise families and build businesses and be proud of all we've achieved. Where once over, visions of that scale could never have been believed. ladies, stand up and be counted. Smile at how far we have come, and cherish every single day as daughter, wife, companions, or mom. Don't let anybody tell you that there are set paths for you to follow. As a little girl with passion is an inspiring woman of tomorrow. So celebrate all women and acknowledge the great things they do. And tell a lady close to your heart just how much she means to you. I want to share a kind of a story and some facts afterwards about why it's so important to keep realizing how far we've come and how far yet we still have to go. And it says, when civilizations begin to write down their law, this was when patriarchy became enshrined. There's a phrase on the Enmatina and the Uagagina cones, the earliest known law codes from the circa of 2400 BC, that says, if a woman speaks out of turn, then her teeth will be smashed by a brick. The Subjugation of Women is an essay by philosopher and political economist John Stuart Mill. Mill argues in favor of legal and social equality between men and women. He writes that the legal subordination of one sex to the other is wrong in itself, and now one of the chief hindrances to human improvement. The Subjugation of Women was published in 1869. This is a second edition dating from the same year. At that time, Mill wrote, the subjugation of women. Women could not vote. A married woman was not a separate legal entity from her husband, and her property or money she owned came under his governance. A common justification for women's inferior legal status was that they were morally superior to men and therefore better restricted to the home, where they would be protected from the polluting influence of public life and could shape the morals of their future generation. Mill argues that this is illogical. There is no other situation in life in which it is considered quite natural and quite suitable that the better should obey the worse. It was widely believed that women were more emotional than rational and did not have the intellectual capabilities of men. Mill argues that women seem emotional, passive, and apolitical. It's because of the way they have been brought up to be so. And in making the claim, Mill echoes Mary Wollstonecraft's The Vindication of the Rights of Women, published almost 70 years earlier. Mill insists that until society treats men and women equally, it will be impossible to know the natural abilities of women, or whether there are inherent differences between the sexes. In 1830, J.S. Mill met 22-year-old Harriet Taylor. They did not marry until 1851, after Taylor's husband had died. But Mill insisted that she inspired, contributed to, and revised all his mature writings. Harriet Taylor died in 1858, more than a decade before Mill wrote The Subjugation of Women. But he nevertheless attributed much of the essays to her. Mill says that though he had been committed to the principle of equality before he met her, she taught him the practical consequences of women's legal subordination. Critics differ in their opinions of how much of the subjugation of women is Taylor's work. And that's fascinating there in the earliest part of the 19th century. This man understood that until men and women were equal, and until we stopped making the, as we, they, considered us to be morally superior, subjected to the inferior and the less wise ways of men, we weren't going to evolve as we should. And just to give you some context, voting rights, equal voting rights, didn't come to New Zealand until 1893. to Finland in 1906, to Denmark in 1915, to Austria, Germany, and Poland in 1918. Women over 30 in the UK got the vote in 1915. It wasn't until 1928 that women in the UK over 21 finally got the vote. In Spain, it was 1931. In France, it was 1944. In India, 1950. In Malaysia, 1957. Zimbabwe. In 1962, Iran and Morocco. 1971, Switzerland. 1989, Namibia. 1993, Kazakhstan and Moldova. 2005, Kuwait. 2011, Saudi Arabia. I want you to let that sink in, because we cannot even begin to imagine the struggle and the fight to get equality. Just the equality to vote. The equality to have a vote in saying who should be the head of our government, who should be leading us. Women's livelihoods were also significantly dependent on who they married and their roles, that they were typically seen as to raise the children and manage the home, whereas the husband earned the income and acted as the head of the household. He was the prime decision maker. And married wives fell under the protection of the husband and often became one person in the eyes of the law, affording them no rights to own property, or to retain their earnings, all of which became the property of their husbands. Women also faced strict, restricted inheritance rights, typically limited to personal effects rather than land or property, where the eldest son would inherit the property and the female heirs could only benefit in the absence of a male sibling. And even when the wife had wealth of her own prior to marriage, this became the property of the husband upon marriage. It's one of those things that is so hard to get your head around, that truly that women were considered nothing more than chattels and property, and anything that they owned outright, once married, no longer became theirs. I remember in the film Little Women, the last version, where one of the four daughters was seeking to marry wealthily, and a childhood friend they grew up with was criticizing her. And she explained that she had no choice. She had to choose to marry wisely. Even if she was self-sufficient and married, that would suddenly become the husband. So she argued for the fact that she was put in this position because of the way society had made them. And it is when you think 2011, women finally got the right to vote in Saudi Arabia. It's beyond tragic that humankind is evolving where it's still subjugating one half of its kind. Women are 50% of the world, and yet here we are, still being unequal. My Science of Mind reading is entitled A Greater Love. The first quote is from Wanda Byrne, who says, "The feeling of love is the highest frequency you can emit. The greater the love you feel and emit, the greater the power you are harnessing." If we would know a God, the second quote is from Ernest Holmes, "Think Your Troubles Away," and Ernest says, "If we would know a God of joy, we must be joyful." The author writes, "I am love. I am love awakening through the gift of my awareness of divine love. I breathe deeply into the truth of my being and emit a gentle, booming, vibrant love from every part of me. This is the energy of a joyful God weaving itself through all of creation and into every moment known to me. The love of spirit is all I breathe in. It is all I exhale. I know with profound conviction that I am inseparable from the creator of my soul. There is no dividing the divine. In this faith and understanding, I know divine mind is all good things and all happy experiences. Love and peace are the purpose of every now. Every cell in my body, every thought in my mind is in complete alignment with love. Every action I take is held in love and is a projection of the light and love of spirit moving through me. I am whole and at peace. There is absolutely nothing in my experience that is not a divine creative expression of God loving me. And so I honor this love by allowing it to wash over me. I celebrate this love by sharing it with the world. Recognizing God's love for me and for all things is my greatest awareness. I'm filled with such profound gratitude as this great love presses in and overflows. I trust that as I open my heart wide, I open myself up to limitless possibilities and opportunities to give and receive love. I choose to be a vessel of divine love now. I chose this reading to remind each and every one of us that we are one with the great love, the divine love, the feminine love. That is of God. That is right where we are. That irrespective of how the world may see or judge us, in God's eyes, in the beloved's eyes, we are loved completely, absolutely, wholly, and unconditionally. And so, if you've not already, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes and go within. As we commune with the ground of being, God in us, as us. And always I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So let us be conscious as we take the next three deep breaths in, that we are breathing in the life-giving, energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Inhale. Hold. Take our third and final deep breath in, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly, release. I'd like you to place your hand on your heart, drop your attention there, take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the heart does, how it pumps the life-giving blood around the body. Now as you inhale, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in love. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out. Joy. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in happiness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Place your hands on your kidneys, the back, lower back. Take a moment to acknowledge the work the kidneys does as it emanates the waste and the toxic substances from your body. Now as you inhale, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out stress. Place your hand on your liver, on the right side, onto your rib cage. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude how the liver detoxifies the blood and combats infections. Now as you inhale, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Now place your hand on your lungs. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude how your lungs brings in the air from the atmosphere and passes the oxygen around through your bloodstream. Now inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Place your hands on your stomach. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work the stomach does as it stores and mixes and breaks down food for your energy. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Let us take a moment to acknowledge all the systems within our body. The skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular, the urinary, the integumentary, the reproductive, the digestive systems, all of these systems which function without us consciously instructing, all of these systems function without us even acknowledging them, except maybe on the Sunday. So now affirm for yourself, the divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a moment as you breathe that in. Let us enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God, the infinite intelligence, the absolute mystery, the ground of our being, is everywhere present at every point in space and time. We know there's nowhere where God is not. So for anything and everything that you wish to include now, I invite you to do so. Divine Beloved, ground of being, source all that is, thou who art the absolute mystery, as we consciously come into communion with you at this time, asking that we allow the transcendent, the divine feminine energy and masculine energies be balanced within us, that we do not allow either one to dominate, but we allow them to be balanced within us, so that we can navigate this world from a place of love and joy and acceptance and peace, radiating that within ourselves and out into our world that's in great need of it at this time. Let us understand that either one that we can allow to take upmost in our consciousness and dominate it, be it from the shadow or from its light side, can have a detrimental effect upon how we show up in this world. So let us look to be balanced in both our natures. Let us look to reveal the highest and the best that being in balance can offer. As this is the month where we honor women, half of the world that exists, that still suffers from abuse and persecution, that still suffers from the brutality of domination and subjugation, that still suffers from inequality and being seen as inferior, and sometimes even as property or chattel. Let us seek to create a world where both the male and female genders are equal, a world that honors and recognizes the contributions of women, not just in the past, but what we are continuing to make here in the present and will continue to make into the future. Let us honor all women of all cultures, of all races and creeds and religions, as truly they are an expression and manifestation of you, the Divine Beloved, who created us all equal and in your image and likeness. So for those parts of the world where, no, let me rephrase that, Mother, Father, God, for our world where women are still abused and subjugated, where women still face inequality, where women still feel or are treated as inferior, we ask for a healing of this world. A healing within the individual female consciousness as well as the male consciousness. Within the collective female psyche, that we may see ourselves as worthy and enough and step into that power, Mother, Father, God. There's so much happening across our world. There's so much conflict that is happening across our world. And while some may get more news attention than others, there's hopelessness, there is fear, there is food insecurity, there is destitution, there is so much that is not in the mainstream media's newsreel, but is still deserving of our prayers now, that still requires a healing now, that still requires a world that expresses its compassion towards it now. So for all areas of conflict, for all people that are seeking safety and shelter, for all people that are feeding, needing food, security now, wherever in the world it may be, we ask for your blessings upon everything and everyone that we have just spoken to. And we ask, beloved Mother, Father, God, for those that are in power, be it political or corporate, that are exercising their power to the detriment of humanity, that you touch their hearts and minds to be compassionate, empathizing, and caring. For anything that I fail to ask, I know you will not fail to bless, for it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom of all the good that it contains. For your infinite peace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky. Wiggle your fingers and affirm, I am one with all that is. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I am love expressing in human form. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that uplift and are positive. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards and affirm, I am grateful for every blessing in my life. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I release all limiting thoughts and beliefs about myself. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phone for our signs of mind, affirmations, and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me. I am the ever-present overflow of divine love.
I am the ever-present overflow of divine love.
I'll put its reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them. I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone,
if I have hurt or harmed anyone,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed,
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe, contented and at peace.
May I feel protected and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I
be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I
be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free. May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination for this week. Rumi says, woman is a ray of God. She is not that earthly beloved. She is creative, not created. Just to remind you, our 10 of 10 is Thursday as usual, our midweek prayer, our 10-minute top-up will be happening on Thursdays as always. Wednesday is International Women's Day, so check out all the activities that are going on and acknowledge the greatness of women. And my closing benediction. May the God of all consolation bless you in every way and grant you peace all the days of your life. May she free you from all anxiety and strengthen your heart in her love. May she enrich you with her gifts of faith, hope, and love, so that what you do in this life will bring you eternal happiness. My closing song today is my fave of the week. It's by Kasia Layton, and it's entitled, I Got You. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Trying to find a reason when nothing changes and I'm stuck in the season. I guess.
Love it. Tasha Clayton singing, I Got You. Beloveds, as we continue in our Lenten season, I trust you are finding the sharings inspiring and uplifting. And as always, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday. Peace and blessings.